You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm continuing now my series on the symbols of the Holy Spirit. In this session, I'm talking to you about fire, which represents many of the aspects of the Holy Spirit's nature. The fire of God is not emotion. The fire of God is not passion or zeal. The fire of God isn't even revival. The fire of God is a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to passion. The Holy Spirit is the key to spiritual zeal. The Holy Spirit is the key to revival. He himself is the fire of God. When Moses encountered the fire at the bush, he was marked by the presence of God in such a way that he carried a passion for souls. He carried this desire to go and deliver a people out of the bondage of Egypt. And you and I today, when we come into contact with this fire, something is ignited in us. Jeremiah said that the word of God, that spirit that came upon him, was like fire in his bones, and he needed to preach that word. When the fire of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the word of God becomes alive, it becomes active, and it becomes something that you have this urge to declare, to speak forth. When the fire of the Holy Spirit touches your life, it consumes all those things which are unholy. When the fire of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it burns away those character traits in you that are unlike Christ. The fire of the Holy Spirit burns away our idols, burns away our secret sins, burns away the old identity, leaving just the pure and the tried and the holy. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says this: "Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them." When the fire of the Holy Spirit shows up, there's a new way that you speak. There's a new way that you talk. There's something different about your language, something different about the words that you choose to use, the message that you declare. Now, I'm a fourth generation Christian, third generation preacher. I grew up in church. And so, growing up in church, I have these memories of stories that were passed down to me from generations before. Now, my dad is a pastor. When he was a little boy, about 10 years old, he attended this church in Maywood, California, where a revival broke out that was unlike anything that anyone there had ever seen. It was the 1970s. And this was during that movement that came upon America, which many Christian historians look back on and say was a marking, a move of the Holy Spirit, a true and genuine move of the Holy Spirit. Well, that church that he attended was caught up in that move, where masses, amounts of people were saved. So my dad told me this story, and he tells me that as a little boy, he remembers that the worship services in this little church in Maywood, California, were so vibrant, they were full of life, they were full of the life of the Spirit. There was energy, but not commotion. There was activity, but not chaos. There was an orderly fashion to their zeal and passion and worship. And he says that the worship team was playing. The people of God were worshiping, as they often did. And there was this weight of God's glory, almost like a cloud had rested on that building. People were worshiping all over. He said that there would be miracles taking place in the front row, in the back row. People would be getting saved. People would be getting healed. People would be getting delivered, all during the worship. And so this church, this small church in Maywood, California, was experiencing this move of the Holy Spirit. And there they were worshiping. And there they were just magnifying God, praising Him. They were celebrating the presence of God. When all of a sudden, the back of the church, on the doors, there was this loud pounding. The ushers began to approach those back doors, trying to assess the situation. But before they could arrive at the doors, those doors burst open. And in came this team of firemen. They walked into the room with a hurried pace, and they had a readied stance as if they were preparing for some type of activity. And they went from having readied stances to relaxing as they looked around in bewilderment. The people there said that the firemen were in full gear. They were ready to put out a fire. The usher approached them. My dad overheard this conversation. The usher approached them and began to ask them what they were doing there. Why are you bursting into our worship service and disrupting this? Well, the firemen explained that their department was being inundated with phone calls from people in the surrounding neighborhood reporting that the church was on fire. People saw flames and smoke coming from the top of the building. People saw actual flames of fire, actual smoke coming out of that tiny church in Maywood, California. But when the firemen arrived and they looked around, they saw there was no physical fire there. The usher explained, yes, there is a fire here, but the fire that's here cannot be put out with what you've brought. This is the fire of the Holy Ghost. People of God, hear me now. There is so much more to the presence of the Holy Spirit. His presence is more real than you and I. His presence is more real to me than these cameras are. His presence can be more real to you than those in your everyday life. Those manifestations, those miracles, those demonstrations of His presence, they're real. And I pray that we would begin to see it in our lives and ministries. Now, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit, quench not the Spirit. Now, that word quench there is interesting because it's the exact same word used in Ephesians chapter 6 when we are told that we are to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. In other words, that quenching is the putting out of a fire. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, when we are told to quench not the Spirit, we are being told of the Holy Spirit's fiery nature. He wants to consume and burn. He wants to grow. He wants to expand. But a fire can only expand when it is fed. If that fire in your life is dying, if that passion, that zeal that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit begins to weaken, then it's time you give the Holy Spirit something to consume. Only when you place a sacrifice on the altar can the fire continue to burn. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we see again the Holy Spirit's fiery nature. The scripture says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The scripture describes the Lord. You know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, look at what happens when you look into the eyes of Jesus. Daniel chapter 10, verse 6 says this, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. In his eyes, you can see his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In the eyes of Jesus, when you stand before him face to face, you will see the fiery nature of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who inflames the fires of your love for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who inflames the fires of your love for your fellow man. The Holy Spirit is the one who inflames that passion for ministry. And as he's burning away pride. He's burning away stubbornness. He's burning away doubt and sin. He's burning away greed and selfishness. He's burning away all of those things that are of you so that the image of Jesus can come forth perfect, complete, pure, and holy. He is the refiner's fire. That fire is associated with passion. That fire is a representation of God's holy wrath. Whenever in the Old Testament, or I should say, oftentimes in the Old Testament, when the people of God would rid their land of idols, those idols would be burned. That's because there's a purifying quality to fire. Fire is associated with zeal. Fire is associated with passion and love, but it's also associated with purity and holiness. You see, you think your key to overcoming sin is the exercise of willpower, the exercise of discipline, and those are certain aspects of your surrender to the Holy Spirit, but ultimately, what's going to burn away that unholy part of your life is the fire of the Holy Spirit. What's going to keep you going is the fire of the Holy Spirit. What's going to cause you to love others and the Lord is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire represents the Holy Spirit's cleansing power and His fiery zeal that is given to us. Let me burn with holy fire. I want that fire to come upon my life. And I want that fire to not only affect me, but I want that fire to affect my friends and my family and my church. May that fire consume us and all that is around us. May we never stifle the fire of the Holy Spirit. May we never put out with our fleshly actions fire of that holiness, the holiness spirit. May we live consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.